Today's shiur is Masechta Erech and Daf Chav Zayin. We will begin at Daf Chav Zayin Amid Aleph, six lines from the top. We learned at the end of the Mishnah, a kohanim v'levim magdishin la'olam v'goyim la'olam bein lefnei yovel bein la'achar yovel. And as we explained in the previous shiur, and we'll discuss more now be'ezer Hashem, what the Mishnah is teaching us is that all the rules that we've been learning regarding stei achuza don't apply by Kohanim and Levim. And as we explained from the Chizkuni in the previous shiur, because since they don't really have much of a share of the land, that's why they're treated differently. So, explains the Gemara. Bishlam Egalin, when the Mishnah says that they have the right to always redeem their property, Itzrich, Lefukim and Yisrael, we want to differentiate the Kohanim Levim from the Yisraelim. The Loipaki Elad Yoivel, since we know that Yisraelim could only redeem the property up to Yovel, and if he didn't redeem it by Yovel, as we learned in the previous year, it goes to the Kohanim. Kamashman, that's why the Mishnah had to teach us the Kohanim Levim Goyelim Oilim, they always have that ability. And as the Mefarshim explained, the Meiri essentially says this, since by the Yisrael's property it's going to end up by the Kohen, that's why it's treated very differently than the property of Yisrael, than the property of Kohen, which anyway is not going to go to the Kohen. Ella, Magdishin, the Mishnah says that they have the ability to be Magdish their property. My area, Kohanim Levim, why, what is so special about the Kohanim Levim? I feel Yisrael Nami. Even the Yisrael should have the same din. V'chi teima, and if you'll say, B'shnas hayoyvel atzma, the difference between Kohanim and Levim versus Yisraelim is what happens if they're magdish to stay achuza in the year of Yovel. So says the Gemara. We go back to Gemara that we learned on Daf Chof Dalet. So hanich l'shmudam b'shnas hayovel atzma l'kacha, that Yisrael doesn't have the ability to be magdish to stay achuza in the Yovel year. And as we explained, as Shmuel explained, because it was a kal v'chomer, if property that's already kadosh goes out, certainly property that you can't be magdish in the same, you can't be magdish. So now we can understand what our Mishnah is teaching us. Kamash Malon, that although Yisraelim cannot be magdish property in the Yovel year, the Kohanim, the Levim, Magdishim Oilim, do have that ability. El Rav, according to Rav, that even if Yisraelim have the ability to be magdish in the Yovel year, so why does our Mishnah single out Kohanim and Levim? My Iri Kohanim and Levim, Afil Yisrael Nami. So the Mefarshim ask, to go back to the Gemara Daf Chof Dalet, when Rav said his opinion that if you can be Magdish in the Yovel year or not, Rav actually said it was a machloikis of Rebbe and the Chachamim. And actually, according to Rebbe, the halacha is, Rav said, you can't be Magdish in the Yovel year. But according to Rav, you can be Magdish in the Yovel year. But according to the Chachamim, the Gemara taught us in Daf Chof Dalet, Rav agrees that you can't be Magdish in the Yovel year. It was dependent on learning the Pasuk with Ad V'loy Ad B'chlal, Rebbe's opinion. Ad the Ad B'chlal, Ad V'loy Ad B'chlal. So if we're going to say Rav is following the Chachamim's opinion, and therefore according to the Chachamim, you can't be Magdish in the Yovel year, so then our Mishnah works perfectly even according to Rav, Rav according to the Chachamim. So Mefarshim say a beautiful teretz. According to Shmuel, the reason why you can't be Magdish in the Yovel year is based on the Kal V'chomer. And the Kal V'chomer only applies by Yisraelim, not by Kohanim and Levim. Because what was the Kal V'chomer? I said it a minute ago. What you have goes out, suddenly you shouldn't be Magdish. By Kohanim and Levim, you don't have that Kal V'chomer because their property doesn't go out by the Yovel year. But according to Rav, according to Chum, it's based on a Pasuk. So whatever is the din by Yisraelim is the din by Kohanim and Levim. So why would the Mishnah need to tell us that that's the halacha of Kohanim and Levim? There's no reason to differentiate between Kohanim and Levim and Yisraelim. Ul Tameich asked the Gemara, let's think about the other words of our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Bein Lifnei Yovel, Bein Lacha Yovel. That the Kohanim could be Magdish and be Goyel before and after Yovel. Certainly, Lomeli, there's no Chiddush in those words. A lot of the Tanaresh Lifnei Yovel, Olacha Yovel. Since we learned earlier in the Perek, when we spoke about the Yisraelim, that they shouldn't be Magdish 2 years before Yovel, And we learned that Allah is that Yisraelim shouldn't be paid the first year after Yovel. Tana Sefer, that's why, to stay consistent with that wording, Tana Sefer ben lacha Yovel, ben lifnei Yovel. Vada Tana Reisha e Magdishim v'loy galim. Since we learned in the Reisha that you can't be Magdish, as I said before, and you can't be Goyal after the first year, that's why Tana Nami Sefer Magdishim v'goyalim, even though there is no Chiddush in our Mishnah. Before we end the Perek, I usually don't do this, but there's a beautiful Rav Chaim that explains the Rambam. A difficult Rambam. The Rambam says, and that's been probably the most fundamental rule of our Perek, that if somebody is magdish their own stay achuza, and then they paid it, it goes back. Says the Rambam, that if somebody is magdish their own stay achuza, and it goes back, it's treated like a stay mikna. Very difficult, Rambam, to understand. Isn't that the fundamental rule of our perek? That as long as you paid it in the right time, in the right way, it goes back. So Reb Chaim says a very bechiddush. Reb Chaim says what the Rambam means to say is that, yes, let's say I own a stay achuza, and I'm magdish it, and I'm paid it. When Yovel will come, since I was paid it, it will become back to be my stay achuza. But what about in the time interval from the time I was paid it until Yovel? Yes, it will be mine, but it will only be treated as a stay mikna mine, not as a stay achuza mine. And there's a very big nafka mina la'alocha, because the alocha is that when somebody brings bikurim, we've learned you can't bring bikurim from every field. Certainly if I don't own a field and I want to bring bikurim and I just want to take first fruits, first good fruits from your field, I couldn't be Mekayim Mitzvah Bikurim. According to the Rambam, a Chiddush, if I was Magdish to stay Achuza, was paid it, until Yovel it's only considered as my stay Mikna, and not stay Achuza, and that a produce of that field cannot be used as Bikurim. Hanu Lachem, a beautiful word. Hanu Lachem Magdish, Hanu Lachem Magdish, Hanu Lachem Magdish. The first year of this Perek still speaks about stay achuza, the first daf. Then we'll move on daf chavches to start speaking about chayrim. So says the Mishnah, have magdish a sadeh b'shosh ein a yovel. So as all the Rishonim explain, when yovel is in effect, and what makes yovel being in effect or not effect, is if all of, there's representation from all of Klal Yisrael, from all the shvatim in Eretz Yisrael. So when yovel is in effect, so we know the formula for pidyon of a stay achuza, the 50 shekel kesef for the area of Chai Mesayrim. When Yovel is not in effect, so the halacha is that you paid the stay achuza according to the value of the stay achuza. So says the Mishnah, Hamagdish Asada B'shosh Ena Yovel, so it's going to be redeemed at its value. Oymaloi, Hegdish says to the owner of the stay achuza, Psach Atarishin, you gave the first bid, Shabalim noisten chaimish, you are the ones that are going to give a chaimish. But kol adam, everyone else, ein noisten chaimish, won't have to give a chaimish. So the way, there's a machloikis Rambam and Ravid, how to understand this Mishnah. Firstly, before we get to the Rambam and Ravid, Taisa says, we have to understand the Mishnah, that Yovel isn't in effect, but the Beis Hamikdash is still standing. Because the Beis Hamikdash isn't still standing, there's no Hegdish. So obviously, our Mishnah is speaking about a very specific period of our history, in the Wasatch period, when you didn't have all of Klal Yisrael represented in Eretz Yisrael, but there was a Beis Hamikdash. So the Rambam learns our Mishnah, Poshe Pshat. The Rambam says that our Mishnah is speaking about specifically in a time where we're being paid according to the value, and that's when we force the owner, the original owner, to give a first bid. Because as we'll discuss in the Gemara, he's most likely to give the best bid. That's how the Rambam learns. The Ravid says that although the subject of our Mishnah is when the Yovel is not standing, the Halach is even when Yovel is. And even when you have the 50 shekel formula, it shouldn't make a difference. Why? And the Ravid's pshat is very geschmack. Because what does our Mishnah say explicitly is the reason we want to get a bid out of the owner first? Because he's going to have to add a chaimish. Now the owner adds a chaimish whether we're using the 50 shekel formula or the value formula. So we're trying to get the 50, that extra chaimish, the hegdish, it shouldn't make a difference what type of system we're using. The Rambam does differentiate. Why does the Rambam differentiate? How do we understand the machlokes Rambam arrived? So the Ritvah has a very nice explanation. The Ritvah says that according to the Rambam, going back to the previous year, when Yovel comes and the owner wasn't paid it, it will go to the Kahanim, but the Rambam pays paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says the Kahanim don't get it free, they have to pay for it. So the Hekdash is not going to lose. So that's why the Rambam says, in a time when Yovel is in effect, so Hekdash is going to get income. If it's not from the owner, it's from the Kohen. When Yovel is not in effect, so then the rule that it goes to the Kahanim doesn't apply, so we want to get it from the owner as much as we can. The Rav doesn't differentiate. He feels since the owner is going to add Chaimish, we always want to do it. It could be that the Machlokes Rambam and Rav is even deeper. The din of Chaimish, does it only apply when you're paying with the 50 shekel formula, or does the owner add a Chaimish even when you're paying according to the valuation system? Although this pretty clear Rai is that you always add a Chaimish. Says the Mishnah, somebody was Magdish's field, because it was a very poor property. And then, Amaloi, it was a Steichuza. So Hegdish said to him, Psach Atarishin. You give the first bid, as we just learned. Amrei Hareshali Be'isra. I'm willing to give an Isser. An Isser is worth 8 prutais. Amar, Rav Yossi, Lama Zabisa. He didn't say an Isser, El Bekabeya, which we'll see in the Gemara is worth about a pruta. Shahegdish Nifta, and Rabbi Yossi says that it's a legitimate approach, because Allah is Hegdish is Nifta b'kesef b'shava kesef. You don't have to give money, you could give even an egg. And then, Taisus asked the question, the obvious question, that we just said that the Beis Hamikdash at least has to be standing for this process to be relevant. Rabbi Yossi was ready after the Churban Abayis. So how did the story even take place? The simplest theory is Rabbi Yossi was referring back to an episode that happened when the Beis Hamikdash was still standing. And Amaloi, he got Ticha. Nobody was willing to bid for it more. So they said to him, Nimtza Mafsid Isvis Deilafonov. So the person had to pay an Isser, because he made a bit of an Isser. Actually, he had to pay more than an Isser, because he had to add a Chaimish. And the Chaimish of an Isser is 2 Prutis. So as the Rishonim explained, what happened to this person? He was Magdish the field, he wanted to get rid of the field. So not only did he end up with the field, he also had to pay for it, another Isser and 2 Prutis. There's a Chassid Shavar, just to help understand the Mishnah. Because it's a difficult Mishnah to understand. The wording in the Mishnah is even difficult. Somebody was Magdish because he wanted to get rid of it, but Bnei Ra'asa, and then the Mishnah says he got stuck with it. What's happening in this Mishnah? So, of a Chassid Shadarach. What happened here was that this person had a piece of property that was not such a great piece of property. It wasn't really producing. So he decided, you know how I'll make this piece of property profitable? I'll take Hegdish as a partner. So when he was Magdish's field, he did it with an ulterior motive. He didn't really mean to be Magdish. He didn't really mean to give tzedakah. He meant just to increase his profitability. So says the Mishnah, if when you give tzedakah, you don't have the right kavana, you end up losing, not gaining. Says the Mishnah. A Magdish Sadei B'Shah. So the Mishnah says, Oimrim, we tell him to bid first. Ask the Gemara of Atanya Kaifin. There's another Braisa that says we force him. Answers the Gemara, my Oimrim Nami. What does the Mishnah say mean Oimrim when it says Oimrim? It means Kaifin. Vibay Seima, a second Teretz. Mikara Oimrim, first we speak nicely. Eat sauce, and if he's willing to give a bid, great, sauce. Viloy Kaifin. So Mepharshim find this Gemara very difficult to understand. The first teretz is a very difficult teretz to understand. Why would we force a person? Why would we force him? Why don't we just talk? It may work even. So Mepharshim respond, there are 2 types of kaifin. One type of kaifin is kaifin with dvorim, just by speaking. And the other type of kaifin is with malchus. And that's the du terutzim. The first teretz doesn't mean that we right away go hit the guy. He didn't do anything wrong. So kaifa means we speak to him, but we say it in a strong way. He should understand that we're serious. There's nothing wrong with that. The second teretz holds that what is the definition of kaifin? Kaifin means malchus. And therefore that teretz can't suggest that we should immediately give malchus. He didn't do anything wrong. That's why he says, first we speak, and then if that doesn't work, kaifin b'malchus. So the terutzim aren't really arguing the definition, the machlokes is what is the definition of kaifin? Does kaifin mean dvarim? Or does kaifin mean, with malchus? But Tysus, the third Tysus in Amit, reminds us of a Mishnah that we learned in Masechet Bechairis. The Mishnah in Masechet Bechairis contrasted, just to use the first example, it's a pasuk that we say every morning. We know by Petach Amar, the Torah gives us two options. Either do pidgin beset, or to do arifa. So the Mishnah says, pidgin is better than arifa. But the Mishnah doesn't say that we force anybody to do pidgin. Why over here do we force, and over there do we not force? So Tysus says, Tysus Teretz says, that since everybody knows, and we're going to speak about it in a moment, that the owner has the obligation to repay the field that he was magdish, it's a mitzvah. So if people see that I was magdish a field, they could assume that I was paid the field. And if I wasn't paid the field, it's hegdish. There's an issue of mila behegdish. So that's why kaifin, to avoid chas v'shalom de aveira mila behegdish. The second teretz, which you'll appreciate more in a moment, is because as the Gemara is going to explain, there are three reasons why one should be paid their own field. So since there's so many reasons, that's why kaifin. Another teretz that Mefarshim give a beautiful teretz. As I just gave the example, there are a number of examples that Mishnah. The Mishnah gives us two options with the Petach Amar, pidgin or arifa. So certainly as the Mishnah tells us, pidgin is better than arifa. But what happens if you chose to do arifa? You did a mitzvah. Maybe you didn't do mitzvah mena mufchar, but you did a mitzvah. Whereas, if in our Mishnah, if you didn't do the pidgin, so whatever you believe, you did nothing. When the option is not doing a mitzvah at all, then kaifin. When the option is to do, but just not do such a great mitzvah, there's no reason to do kaifin. So we learned in the Mishnah, Shabbalam Noisim Chaymish. Ask the Gemara, why does our Mishnah have to give the reason? Shabbalam Noisim Chaymish. Typically, the Eidah the Chafivalei, Tfei Uparaklei. So right after Achrayim explained the Gemara as follows. They really go into human psychology here. Number one, which is a concept that we've discussed, a field that is my steyachuza, I'm more attached to. So I have more of a connection to this field. Number two, even if I have an attachment to something, but I'm a businessman. So if I hear you bid for the field, there's no reason for me to overbid. I may want it, so I'll bid a little more. So we want to get Hegdish the best price. Who's the one that's most likely to put in a high bid? The person who has that attachment. So that's why the owner, the original owner, who has this driving force of that attachment, should make the first bid, because that's likely to start with the highest bid. Right? Mitzvah gula ba'adim. As I just said, there's a mitzvah for the owner of the steyachuza to be paided. So why does our Mishnah only speak about nois and chaymish? And it's the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah is chada v'oid kama. Chada, one reason why we should make the owner give a bid, da'i de chavivalei tfei parklei. Right, another reason is mitzvah gul ba'adam. Va'aid, shabal nos chaymish. A combination is why we go to him for the first bid. Machlokes achroinim. What happens if you won't have all three of these circumstances here? Will there still be a mitzvah to go to the adam to give the first bid? Or does the Gemara mean to say that only when these three issues come together, is there an issue, is there a mitzvah to go to him for the highest bid? So suggest the Gemara, that what is the machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yossi saw a shava kesef kekesef, and that's why you could offer an egg. Rabbanan Savri, shava kesef and a kesef. And therefore, you can't offer an egg. Ask the Gemara, we all remember the Gemara at the beginning of Sechta Kedushin, the Shava Kesef Kekesef, Yashiv, L'Rabbi Shava Kesef Kekesef. Therefore says the Gemara, the Kulama, Shava Kesef Kekesef. Everybody agrees you don't have to give cash. Shava Kesef is fine. For Hacha, what is the issue over here? As I said when we learned the Mishnah, the value of an egg was a pruta. So a chaimish of a pruta is less than a pruta. Tanakam sover, iser, the one we speak about an iser, which as I said is equal to eight prutas, the ikka b'chaimish shav a pruta, because the chaimish mubar is two of eight, so then it has equals to a shav a pruta, and therefore pakinan, that's a number we can work with. Even though the chaimish will be less than a pruta. Amaloi, so the Mishnah said, ha'kiticha, nimtza mafsid iser, v'stei l'fanav, the Mishnah is paskening karabonim. And as the Mefarshim explain, even though when we have Machloikus Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi, we follow the Rabbanan, since throughout Shas, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is an individual who's known as Nemukai Imai, he's a man of solid reasoning, so maybe we should follow his opinion, teaches us the Gemara, no, we pass like the Rabbanan. So our Mishnah begins, Am Echad. So we have the Steyachuza that's up for bids. And the first person says, Harei Shli Be'esar, he offers 10 Shloim. The next person offers 20 slime. Vechraim b'shloshim, the next person offers 30 slime. Vechraim b'bayim, the next person offers 40 slime. Vechraim b'chamishim. So obviously the highest bidder wins. Now, chazabay shal chamishim, and the person who made the $50 bid backs out. Memashkim and chazabay eser. And the fundamental yisoid of our Mishnah is amira l'gvay k'mesira l'hejit. And therefore, as soon as I say 50, I become obligated. So now if I back out, and the $40 bid wins, Hegdish can't lose, because I already obligated myself to Hegdish. And therefore, I have to pay the differential 50. Chaz b'shal abim, b'mashkim min chaz av eser. Chaz b'shal shloshim, b'mashkim min chaz av eser. Chaz b'shal eserim, b'mashkim min chaz av eser. Chaz b'shal eser, and then if the man made the lowest bid eser, ma'achon eser b'shavyoi, we take from him the value, when the fram mishal eser as hamaiser, and with the difference between what we actually get. So there's a number of very important points to make. One is that, as I said a moment ago, the fundamental concept of our Mishnah is a miras l'gvay k'misiras l'hejit. The question that the Rishonim and Achrayim discuss is that rule always applied. Does that mean every time I make a statement to Hegdish is it considered like a kinyan? And the Rishonim, it's a Tosfos, and Tosfos Yontif discusses it in our Mishnah, say we only apply that principle when you're buying something not for its true value. Obviously here, they're just bidding it up because they want to give Hegdish money. So when you're not buying something for its true value, that's when Chazal employed the concept of Amira L'Gvayk Misros L'Hegdish. But if I'm buying something from Hegdish for its value, it just happens to be that Hegdish is the seller, then the regular Hilchus Kinyanim apply. Very interesting Tshuvas Mabit. Speaks about an interesting story. There was a wealthy person in the shul. He came to Yom HaNaram. They sold aliyahs, and he participated in a very generous way. He bought aliyahs throughout the Yom HaNaram. And then it came Simchas Torah, and he felt that he wasn't given enough kavod at Simchas Torah. So what does he do? He makes his own shul. He goes to daven in a different shul. And he's an honest person. He says, I will, all the money I pledge tzedakah, I'm going to give. I'm giving it to my new shul. What's the halacha? Says the Mabit. Since the halacha is amiras l'gvay k'misiras l'hejit, so the moment you made the pledge, you became obligated, and you made the pledge in this shul, therefore, the halacha is that you have to pay in the shul that you made the pledge. The most common question that could come up based on this Mishnah is the following scenario. Somebody bought an aliyah. Somebody bought an aliyah. Everything is fine. He bought an aliyah. He bought mafter. And then, he bought another aliyah. It doesn't have to be mafter. Actually, mafter is less of a shayla. He bought an aliyah. He bought himself shishi. And then, somebody else bought him shlishi. So, the halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you can't give the same person two times aliyah from the Shiva Kruim. Mafter also l'chatchila not. But certainly from the Shiva Kruim, you can't give a person aliyah twice. So he already got shlishi. He bought himself shishi, he doesn't need shishi. So now, isn't that the situation of our Mishnah? And the Tzemach Tzedek says that that's exactly the case of our Mishnah. So what would be the halacha? Let's say I was the highest bid, I won shishi. So now I can't get shishi. I bought it for myself. I can't get it because I already got shlishi. So the person with the bid below me should get the aliyah, honor his bid, and after honoring his bid, I should pay the differential. That's how the Tzemach Tzedek paskens, which is essentially what the Mishnah says. There are achroinim that say it's very different. Because in our Mishnah, we're buying something tangible. We're buying a piece of property. So there we could say that you bid 40, I bid 50. So you were bidding something tangible, and therefore you're obligated to honor your $40 bid, and I have to give differential. Here, since it's not something really tangible, it's an ali, it's not a tangible, it could be that the person below me doesn't have to honor his bid, and I would have to pay for the whole ali, even though I don't need it. Says the Mishnah. The introduction to the next part of the Mishnah is very simple. It goes back to something we discussed earlier. The halacha is that when an owner is paida, he has to add a fifth. So now we have the following situation. Habalim oim besrim. I, the owner, bid 20. V'chaladim oim besrim. And you also bid 20. So the halacha is habalim kaidmim. Neshayim asif and chaymish. Because my bid of 20 is not really 20. It's 25. Because the chaymish milbar of 20 is 25. So I win. Where will be, continued the Mishnah, am echad. I, the owner, bid 20, and you bid 21. So now let's think about it. My $20 bid equals really 25. Your $21 bid is 21. So says the Mishnah, I have to give 26. Let's think about why. 20 I have to give because that was my bid. 5 I have to add because that's my chaymish. But we can't have a situation where Hegdish should lose out. And since there's a $21 bid on the table, we can't let Hegdish lose it, so I have to give 26. What? Yes. That extra seller that we're speaking about, that I won't have to give a chaymish on. Well, why won't I have to give a chaymish? Because it wasn't part of my bid. So I do have to give the esrim. I do have to give the chaymish of the esrim. I do have to give the extra to meet your bid, but I don't have to give a chaymish on that extra. And the rest of the cases are the same. Besrim v'shtayim, if your bid was 22 and mine was 20, habalim noisim esrim v'sheva. Besrim v'sholosh, habalim noisim esrim v'shmoina. Besrim v'abba, habalim noisim esrim v'teisha. Besrim v'chamesh, your bid was 25, habalim noisim v'shloshim. Again, 20 plus 5 plus 5. And says the Mishnah, as I just said a moment ago, she'ein mosif v'chayim shalu v'shalzeh. Even though I have to add your extra, I don't have to give a chaymish on the part that I'm adding. Now, says the Mishnah, Amar Echot, Harei Shli Be'esrim Shesh, you bid 26, I, the owner, bid 20. Imratz Habalim Litin Shishin Ve'echot V'dinner, and the Mishnah is going to explain where this dinner comes from, Habalim Kaidman. V'mlav, if you offered 26, and I offered 20, you win. Amar Chizda, says the Rav Chizda back to the first din of the Mishnah. So how do we understand the first din of the Mishnah? You offered 50, I offered 40, and then you backed out of the 50. So the way we understood the Mishnah is that I should give the 40, and you give the extra 10. However, says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Aval ein ben aboim oim b'mkaymai. Let's say the $40 bid also backs out. So then the halacha is mishal shem beinayim, which means like this. If the $40 bid backs out, so this way Rashi learns throughout, the person who made the $50 bid has to pay 10, because he's the only one that made the $50 bid, and the 10 between 30 and 40, we divide between ourselves, so it's going to turn out that the $50 bid is going to give 15, and the $40 bid is going to give 5. Ask the Gemara. But that's not what we learned in the Mishnah. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Chaz Bashla Boim, Mimashkin Ad Eser. We make the person who made the $50 bid give 10. Amai. But the way I just explained, Litim Bacham should behadi. He should have to give 15, not just 10. Answers the Gemara, the Lekha Benchemsh. We misunderstand the case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not to be understood, at least at this point, as a continuation. When the Mishnah says that you have to give the extra, that there wasn't a $50 bid and a $40 bid. There was only a $40 bid. And that's what the Mishnah says, that I have to give the deference. Ask the Gemara the same question. But again, Amai, deleting the Ben Abim Bahadei, why doesn't he have to participate? So it's the same terrors. The Lekka Ben Abim. There was never really, it's a new case, it's not a continuation. Similarly, Chosba Ben Asrim, Mamashkim Ben Chosvar Asr, Amai, deleting the Ben Shloshim Bahadei, why doesn't he have to participate? Again, says the Gemara, but we misunderstood the Mishnah. The Lekka Ben Shloshim. Ask the Gemara, Yehachi Ema Sefer, let's understand the last case in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the first there was a $10 bid. And then Chazba Shal Esser, and then he retracted on that bid. So the Halach is Moichern Oyster B'Shavya, we sell it at its value. V'nefroi Mishal Esser Samoyser, we take from him the differential between what we actually got and what he bid. But why in Laisa the Ben Esser Badei, why doesn't the person who made the $20 bid also not participate? V'chitem, and if you're going to say the same terrors that we said already four times, Hachanami the Lekka Ben Esrim, that there wasn't really a $20 bid. Let's look at the wording in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says Nefram Mishal Asara, what does that mean? That there's a person who bid 10, and there's obviously somebody who bid something else. But if we're learning that the Mishnah in this part, in this last case, refers that there's only one bid on the table, the bid of the 10, then the word should have been Mimenu. There's no one else. Elo. So we're back to where we started. It makes a difference. When do I say, Mishal Shlim, that everybody has to participate in the loss? Is everybody retracted together? But if the $50 bid retracted and the $40 bid was still open, then he doesn't have to know about anything else, and he only has to cover that extra 10. And says the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hochi, and actually that's something we learned in the Braisa, Chazu Kulun Ke'echot, if they all retracted at the same time, then the halach is Mishal Shlim B'neihem, they all have to divide in the loss. V'nan T'nan M'mashkinim M'chosav Areser, not that they have to participate, El Shemam Inod, the way to reconcile the Brice and the Mishnah, K'rev Chizda, Shemam Inod, it makes a difference if they backed out together or they backed out separately. Ikud Rama Lemirma, others have this Gemara as a question and answer form. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Chaz Bashal Eser, Meichner Eser B'Shavya, Menefra Mishal Eser Samoysa, that the entire burden is on the person who retracted, yet we learned in another Brice, Mishal Shemaneim, they all have to participate. Answers the Gemara, like Kasha. It makes a difference, Kambas Achas, if they retracted together, Kambas Achazeh, or they retracted one after the other. So we learned in the Mishnah, Baalim Omrim Be'esrim, V'kol Echad Be'esrim. The second part of the Mishnah began, that if the owner bid 20, and someone else bid 20, so since the owner's 20 comes with the Chaimish, we go with him. Ask the Gemara, L'mer the Chaimish Adif, does that mean that we take the Chaimish into consideration? V'rminu. Baal Abayis Omrim Be'Sela. The Baal Abayis offers a seller. The halacha we know is, Ma'is Hasheni, fruit, you could be paid them and take the money up to Yerushalayim and buy with it food in Yerushalayim. Again, the halacha is that if the owner of the produce is paid the Ma'is Hasheni, he has to add a chaymish. If someone else is paid it, he doesn't have to add the chaymish. So it says in the Mishnah Masechta the Ma'is Hasheni, Baal Bayis Omer B'Sela. The Baal Bayis was willing to be paid the Ma'is Hasheni for a seller. Vecher Omer B'Sela V'Isser. And somebody else offers us Isser, which as we've been learning in our Shia doesn't represent a lot. It's 8 Prutas. Shel Sela V'Isser Koidim B'Mnesha Moisev Al Keren. His bid is a bigger bid. Why? If you look at the end of the day, the seller is the bigger bid. Because a Chaymish of a seller is a lot more than an Isser. So if we follow the principle of our Mishnah, why does the other one win? Answer the Gemara. Hacha, the Chomsha Rivcha the Hegdish. In a situation where the Chomish represents a Hegdish, what happens in our Mishnah? The Hegdish is going to get the proceeds. So we're anxious that Hegdish should get the most possible. Hacha, the Chomsha Rivcha the Hegdish, Chomish Oidif. So we take that into consideration. What happens when you pay the Ma'is Hasheni? What happens with that? doesn't go to Hegdish. It goes to you, as I said a moment ago, and you take it up to Yerushalayim to buy food for yourself. Hacha, hasam the chaim shirivka the balabayis. Kind of type of shapa chum shalayich b'slam. We don't pay attention to the chaimish. So this Gemara, actually, I saw as the basis for a very interesting question. Whoever is somewhat familiar with mitzvahs at tluyus b'oritz b'zman hazeh and knows that the Chazon Ish set up a whole system what you do when you go to Tisrael. So you have Maisa Sheini, and what are you paider on it? You're paider on a pruta. Why are you paider on a pruta? Because we're going to actually learn in Mitzvah Shem and Am Sechta, I think it's a Daf Chav Testel, the famous concept of Shmuel. The Hegdash Shechilah Shav Pruta is Mechulal. That even if you pay the Hegdash on a Shav Pruta, it's valid. And the same thing is regarding Meiser. Certainly, Bizman Azeh, where the Meiser can't be eaten, with Tomei. So the Halachas, if you pay it on a Shav Pruta, it's fine. And that's how anybody who's somewhat familiar knows that's how we pay the Meiser Sheini produce in Eretz Yisrael. So the stipler, Rav Shlomo Zalman, asked the question. You paid the Hegdish al Shavapruta. But we just finished learning in our Gemara that when you paid your own produce, you have to add a Chaimish. Who says that the Halach of Chaimish could be on a Shavapruta? Maybe the din is that the principle could be nift on a Shavapruta, but not the Chaimish. And that's why Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Tshuva Micha Shlomo suggests that if somebody is being paid to his own fruit, he should actually use more than a pruta. Because otherwise you may have issues with the chaymish. I saw from the Shalat Chus Mishnah Halachas, he says that I'll bring you a raya that the chaymish of Hegdish is, the chaymish of Maisa Sheini is not to be treated so significantly. Because what did our Gemara just say? In our Mishnah, when Hegdish was getting the chaymish, the Mishnah said we'll worry about the chaymish. By Maisa Sheini, since it's not going to Hegdish, so we're not so concerned about it. So it's a raya, says the Mishnah Halachas. If you could be paid to the Karen with a Shavu Pruta, certainly the Halacha will be better Chaimish as well. Am Echra Reishali. So we learned the Halacha is, Be'esim V'chamesh. If I offer 20 and you offer 25, the Mishnah says I have to pay. Ask them why. V'leimer Habalim, why the owner cannot say, Asur Gav B'charikin. My bid was 20. Put the chaimish on top of the 20. What does it equal? 25. Your bid was also 25. So why do I have to take it? Answers the Gemara, the Amar Balam B'dinner. It wasn't that your bid was 25 and my bid was just 20. My bid was 20 plus a dinner. So if my bid was 20 plus a dinner, your bid of 25 is actually less. Says the Gemara, V'lisni dinner. If that's the case, why doesn't the Mishnah say it? Answers the Gemara, Loidok. The Mishnah doesn't speak about dinrim. Ask the Mahaki, he said the Mishnah doesn't say talk about dinrim. For Tani, we just learned at the end of the Mishnah, we're going to speak about it in a moment. So we see that our Mishnah does refer to dinrim. How can we say that our Mishnah, how could you suggest that our Mishnah is ignoring dinrim? Elamarava, the Olam Balam Pruta V'Leitak. My bid was 20 plus a Pruta. Your bid was 25. So my 20 plus a Pruta is actually more than your bid of 25. Just since it's only a pruta, the Mishnah doesn't bother mentioning it. So we learned in the Mishnah, she'em esifim chayim shalaluyev. We don't, on the extra that I'm being obligated to pay, the Mishnah could obligate me to pay it, Chazal could obligate me to pay it, but they can't make me give a chayim on that extra amount. On Rav Chizda, says Rav Chizda, when does this rule apply? When it wasn't appraised by three people, if it was appraised and there's a real value, and I had just underbid, then I can't get away with it. I have to give a chaymish on top of the appraised value. So all the chayim asked the question, haven't we learned that hegdish has to be, property of hegdish has to be appraised by 10 people? How do we say that's appraised by three people? So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is that l'chatchili you have to have 10 people, but the Gemara is saying if it was appraised by 3 people, but the Yevit, it's acceptable. Another teretz that the Ragat Shavah suggests, it is a nafkamina. Let's say Hegdish owns a property, and a different person who wasn't the one that was magdishit comes to redeem it, we first have to have an appraisal by 10 people. Who are we speaking about here being poided? The original owner. If it's the original owner who's being poided, then an appraisal of 3 is adequate. Tanya nami hachi. It says the Gemara. You have to add the chaimish. Ask them, what is this machlokes beshamay and beisel all about? Hechidami. If there's no appraisal, so my time of the beshamay. So why would I have to give a chaimish on top of the money that I didn't even offer? Ero the nisham. It must be that it was appraised. And that's when beshamay is saying that if it's not that I just, that if it's praised at that value, I have to give a chaimish on the appraised value. But ask the Gemara, if that's the case, we end up with Rav Chisda agreeing with Beis Shammai. And we know that they're always passing like Beis Hillel, not like Beis Shammai. Lema Rav Chisda domer to Beis Shammai? Answers the Gemara, Lailam the Lai Nisham. It wasn't appraised. Or Beis Shammai Machmir. So the way we understand the first teretz is as follows. When it was appraised, there is no machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. If it was appraised at a higher number than I offered, not only must I meet that price, I have to even give a chaimish on that price. Beis Shammai is machmer that even if it's the case of our Mishnah, where it's just a bidding, and I am being forced to pay more than I bid, I have to give a chaimish not only on my bid, but even on the amount that's extra. Beis Hillel like says, like our Mishnah, you don't have to. Beis Shammai, loyalam the nishan. The Mishnah is referring, the Machlokes is in a situation where it was appraised. But what you need to do is Epech, Beshamayim Emoisif, Beshamayim Emoisif. It's Beshamayim who says that you don't have to give the Chaimish on the extra. Beis Hillel says you do. And that's exactly what Rav Chisda said. But ask the Gemara, if that would be the case, we know that the Mishnayis Masechta Idyos mentioned the Kulei Beshamayim and the Chumrei Beis Hillel. And this would be another such circumstance, such case. So why isn't it mentioned there? V'listi gabi kula beis shamay v'chum beis hillel. Says the Gemara, l'oilam, l'loy nishim. We have to go back to our first teretz, that even if it wasn't appraised, and just I'm being made to give more than my bid, not only must I give that extra, but I even have to give a chaimish on it, because beis shamay is a machmirim. Beis hillel says, you don't have to do that. Amar echad, harei shili be'esr v'sheish. Somebody says, I'm willing to give 26. So there, the Mishnah says, if I want to increase it, fine, no. So the Mishnah said, Rotzal in, loy Rotzal loy. But ask them why. Amri, ask the Gavra Bechariken, firm question. If you offer 26 and I offer 20, even if we add the Chaimish, your bid is better. So why does the Mishnah say that you, that I should add? You should win, hands down. Furthermore, ask the Gemara, the dinner, my evidite, the Mishnah at the end said that I have to give 31 plus a dinner. Where does this dinner come in? Amr of Sheish is Hachkama. Imrat Baal Mikara. If it was, what the Mishnah means to say is like this. If I wanted originally give Cheshman Hamagil Le'echav Shlosh V'dinner, what does that mean? Hechi Domi, Da'am V'esed V'echot. If your bid was 26, and my bid was 21, so my bid of 21 can end up with Hegdish being more, because you have to give the chaimish on the whole 21, habayim kaidmim, vimlav, if not, where it's equal bids, hagaticha, then you could get it and I don't have to pay.